It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. That's there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We would greatly appreciate that as well. It is Friday, producer Steve. It is Friday.
Yeah, I'm watching you go from point A to point B. You remind me of that song that's slow down, you move too fast.
There is a lot to do right now, Steve, and so I'm doing my best to make that happen. Great show planned for you today. We'll go through some headlines in this first and second segment. We'll also be talking with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group regarding what's happening in the mortgage market. Karen Levine is traveling this week. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and so we will talk with her next week. Of course, Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour with Presidential Wealth Management. And then in the third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Rick Turnquest. You know him. He's an author. He's a blogger. You can find him at toadvancefreedom.com. He has written an excellent op-ed that will be on my website here sometime today, as well as we'll be pushing that out on Facebook. And it is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a look at the 2020 General Assembly session. So that will be most interesting. You know, Steve, it used to be before this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and then the riots in the street, where there's so many of these blue governors and blue mayors that are just turning a blind eye. People would say to me, I'm not into politics. I'm thinking, you know, politics is into you. You know what? I think people are realizing politics is into them, and I think people are paying attention.
It's amazing. It's quirky. Every place there's trouble in the country, you know, eyebrow-raising trouble, it's in a blue state, a blue city, and you think, what's going on here? Why don't other places? And one of the ones that comes to mind is South Dakota, I guess. The governor there, I mean, the people of South Dakota are just, they have her on a pedestal. She didn't shut down the state, and everything is recovering nicely.
That is the beauty, Steve, of federalism. That is the style of government that we have here, where ideally the federal government is supposed to be smaller and that the states has rights and, of course, the individual has rights. And then you have this whole incubator of all these different ideas. So you compare that to the Wicked Witch of the West up in Michigan. Whitmer, I think it is.
Whitmer, yes.
And so you can actually see the results. You know, one of the things, Steve, that I always thought that was so interesting about this whole Wuhan virus shutdown was it seems like thinking people would say, we're going to do an experiment. We might shut down this state and see how it works, or this city, and then we're going to have a control group over here where we don't shut it down, and we're going to do a comparison. Now what I see, though, is I don't trust the CDC, and I don't trust the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. I don't trust these local health departments because we've seen that they've kind of been moving those numbers around. So when I start to see headlines that there's, oh, that there might be an increase in COVID cases in some of these states that didn't shut down, it's like, yeah, I'm thinking maybe you want to try to take the headlines and try to throw, you know, water on the success of these states that didn't shut down. And, you know, I could never understand why there was never a control group. It's always been about control, Steve.
My home state is Pennsylvania, and I'm watching what's going on, obviously, from a distance. But they're basically going to war against their governor. And this guy, I thought, when the spotlight first went on, I'm like, well, is he a first-term governor? Because he's really hurting himself. Well, he's not. He's a second-term governor, and he's on his way out. So therefore, he'll do whatever he wants to do, and he's basically going to war against his own people.
It's absolutely astonishing. I saw on going through headlines last night on the computer that Governor Polis was in one of the national headlines that is this state going to have a spike? Now, there's going to be probably additional cases. A, because, you know, it's the coronavirus has been out there in the community, and also because we're doing more testing. But I talked to a healthcare professional. I said, what do you think about this whole thing? And I don't think that he's really a Trump supporter. I think he leans left from a political standpoint. And he said, you know, certainly there was a coronavirus, but what we are seeing, this whole thing, it is a hoax, what is going on now. And it's been an overreaction. And so we need to continue to push back on all that. And that is the beauty of federalism, where we have these different states that make these different decisions. You're going to see people move out. I think you're going to continue to see people move out of these blue states. I think you're going to see people moving to the rural areas. In fact, a friend of mine emailed me and said that they know of two families that are moving out of Colorado. On the other hand, Patty is doing some research on it. She sent me a quick headline that the Colorado Office of Economic Development, though, is still giving out money to bring companies to Colorado. They're giving them special deals to come to Colorado. Yet the same government used their power to close down businesses for 6 weeks. You know, these mom and pop operations, some of them are going to really struggle to come back. And so the veil is off, Steve. The veil is off. They say they care about people. They don't care about people. They care about power. And the veil is off. And so as we come into these elections, elections really matter. And so we need to get engaged, and we need to be involved, and we need to elect the representatives that will be moving to less government instead of more government. And how do you determine that, Steve? Go to Rudyard Kipling. You know, he wrote The Jungle Book. Lived at the turn of the century, at the from the 19th to the 20th century. And he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And so put your thinking caps on. These people that are now trying to rule by emotion, use your emotions to rule what's happening out there. We need to make sure that we ask these questions. And we look at all of these issues. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force, and it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force or fear, whether with a weapon. Speaking of weapon, can you believe what's happening up at the new country up there in Seattle, CHOP? You know, the Capitol Hill occupiers... protest, I think that it is. They now have borders. They have barricades, and they actually have people with weapons. So I guess they do kind of like the things that are embodied in the Constitution. But anyway, as I digress, it's never compassionate to take these things, whether with a weapon, policy,
or my favorite,
unpredictable and excessive taxation.
There you go.
And we've added on fear. So if something is a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement it. So it is time to act. We need to start to push our local leaders. You mentioned what's happening in your home state of Pennsylvania, Steve. We need to be pushing our local leaders to be standing up against this administrative state. When I hear back from elected representatives regarding the draconian stuff that has been coming out of the public health departments, and they say, we can't do anything about it. That's not okay. We need to be putting pressure on our local officials. I want to say thank you to the team, Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you're valued, you're treasured. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So today, Steve, our quotes, Rick Turnquist, his op-ed, the title of it is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A look at the 2020 General Assembly session. So I thought, who better to quote than Clint Eastwood?
Okay, I see where you're going. We'll be hearing from Clint a little later, but go ahead.
Okay, so Clinton Eastwood Jr. is an American actor, film director, producer, and composer. I didn't know he was a composer. I wonder what he wrote. Anyway, after achieving success in the Western TV series Rawhide, he rose to international fame with his role as the man with no name in Italian filmmaker Sergio Leone's Dollars trilogy of spaghetti westerns. Why did they call them? Oh, spaghetti westerns, because it from Italy.
Yeah.
Right? Ah,
yeah.
Okay. During the 1960s. And as the anti-hero cop Harry Callahan in the five Dirty Harry films throughout the 70s and the 80s. These roles, among others, have made Eastwood an enduring cultural icon of masculinity. And The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was filmed in 1966. Clint Eastwood was born in 1930. He's 90 years old in San Francisco, California. And I love this quote. Are you ready, Steve?
Yes.
You, me, we own this country. Politicians are employees of ours. And when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
Gee, how groundbreaking.
How groundbreaking. This election will be like no other election ever, I think, in America. You know, I say that, you know, even the founding fathers, I mean, it got mudslinging, you know, all kinds of, but this is one of the most important elections for our country. We are at a defining moment in our country, Steve. We're going to decide whether or not what we want is the ideology of creativity and innovation and prosperity and the idea that every man is created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Or we can have the other ideology of socialism, which we are seeing play out in our streets. And that is picking winners and losers. That is government coming in with draconian rules and regulations and asking people to be compliant. And then we're seeing that actually that moves to the destruction of people's lives and their property. And again, those of you that listen to the show every day, you know that Patty uncovered this, and I think Candace Owens is now all over this as well, that if you go to Black Lives Matter and you donate, where the money goes, it goes to Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraising arm. So I find this so curious, Steve, if you will, that you now have these Democrat politicians that are talking about defunding the police. But yet, on the other hand, they are getting all this money from Black Lives Matter, but yet they've gotten all this money from the police unions over the years. It's going to be really interesting to watch this whole thing play out, Steve.
Defund the police. And then the follow-up question is, to what end?
Well, then, you know, you get to people walking around like in CHOP, with their weapons. So before we go to break, and we'll be talking with Lauren Levy, Hooters Restaurants is one of my very important partners. They say that we know how hard this time apart has been. They also know not everybody is ready to join us just yet. So they have delivery, they have takeout, and minimal contact curbside service, which is still available. But you can actually dine in as well. I met my good friend Sue a couple of weeks ago, and we just sat out on the deck and had some beverages and some wonderful nachos. It was a great thing to do on a Friday afternoon. And they have happy hour. Happy hour is from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, dine-in only. Wednesdays are Wings Day. All you can eat wings for $15.99. That's dine-in only. They have lunch specials. And kids eat free with dine-in or to-go with the purchase of an adult entree. So be sure. And you know what? I think our receptionist, Charlene, said that she went over there the other day, and they just had a really fun time at Hooters Restaurants as well. There's one just down the street from us.
Yeah. Excuse me. Good for Charlene. Hey, back to Clint Eastwood for a second. Do you remember? I had no idea he was so politically, motivated and involved. Do you remember the 2012 Republican convention where he came out on the platform and talked to the empty chair?
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, that was... I said, okay, this guy's all right.
Yeah, and he was also the mayor of Carmel, California.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, interesting guy. So anyway, the reason we're talking about Clint Eastwood is because Rick Turnquist has done this excellent op-ed, which will be on my website a little bit later, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a look at the 2020 General Assembly session. Let's go to break. When we come back, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group will let us know what's happening in the interest rate market. There's some real opportunities in mortgages right now, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. You know what, Steve? I got caught up on all of those emails that I'd heard from listeners last night. And, you know, I want to say thank you to each of you. I so love hearing from you, and I so appreciate you. And so I got caught up on all that. And, you know, go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. But really appreciated that, Steve. I was a little behind. I was feeling so guilty on that. You know what?
Well, it's not like you don't have enough other things to do, but I'm sure it's very, you know, rewarding, pleasing to get input. And I just have a funny feeling that a lot of it is very complimentary.
We've had a lot of people really are appreciating what we're doing as far as, you know, bringing forth truth, looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And one of the reasons that we get to do this is I get to work with some amazing sponsors and partners. And one of those is Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. He is a specialist in this arena, and he works with a lot of different companies so that he can help you, you know, get your mortgage package to something that works for you. People are individuals. We all have different, you know, we're just all different. And so it's so great to have all those options. So Lauren Levy, happy Friday.
Hey, same to you, Kim. Good morning.
Good morning. I know that you have been busy because interest rates have been near, well, at all-time lows. Have they popped up a little bit over the last week, or what's happening in the mortgage market?
They haven't really popped up. They're kind of just staying down low right now, hanging in there. And you're right, it is a busy time, and it's a fun time. We're getting to help a lot of people.
When you say help a lot of people, now, Karen's traveling this week, so we won't be talking with Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today. But with interest rates low, you can still buy more house with interest mm-hmm. rates low. So explain that a bit, Lauren Levy.
So there's a few things that I hear. Number one, you know, with interest rates lower, the payment on a similar amount of money is lower just because you're paying less interest. So if you could afford, let's say, a $400,000 house, if the rates were 4.5, well, if the rates dropped to 3, you could probably afford a $450,000 or $500,000 house because the payment is the same on the higher dollar home because of the lower rates.
Okay. And you know, we always talk about when opportunity knocks at the door, you should open it. And I know people sometimes they're procrastinators. They're like, oh, I'll call Lauren next week. But it's really, you know, when you have those opportunities, you need to step forward. We've seen, you know, the market drop significantly. It's pretty, the stock market dropped. It's very volatile, but yet it's moving back up. And so I don't think that the interest rates for homes are going to stay this low forever, Lauren.
They won't stay forever. The action of the Federal Reserve and the money that they put into the market has helped boost or lower the rates, keep them down. But you're right, Kim. We're getting a lot of calls and several from your listeners lately from people who are just either retired and are just looking to get the lowest payment they possibly can so they can enjoy their retirement with less stress. Other people are looking, you know, they have 20 years left on their loan and they're taking it down to a 15 or a 10-year. And then there's people that are trying to get some money out to remodel the kitchen like they've always wanted to do. And now with the rates the way they are, it's a lot cheaper for them to do it. So there's just a lot of reasons why people are calling, and you know, we've heard from several of your listeners, Kim. I wanted to say that I got a call last Friday after we were on with you from a woman named Jan in Fort Collins, and Karen also got a call from her. Her phone shows up as no caller ID. She left me a voicemail, but I think her phone had fallen or was in her purse, and you can't hear it. And so when she called Karen, she didn't leave a message because she said she had already left me a message. And so I don't have her phone number. So I wanted to say, Jan, who lives north of Fort Collins, if you're listening again today, please call me back. I have not ignored you. I just could not make out your phone number.
Okay. Okay. So Jan in Fort Collins, Lauren wants to talk with you. And the best number to reach you is 303-880-8881, 303-880-8881. So Lauren Levy, what's kind of the final thought you want to leave with listeners this morning?
I just want to just reiterate what you said. These are the lowest rates in about 50 years. And we're telling everybody that this could be the opportunity, not of a lifetime. We don't know what will happen. But it's definitely an opportunity of a couple decades, and it's at least worthwhile to get a checkup. Our promise to your listeners is that if there's not a right answer for them and they're perfectly fine in their current loan, then we won't make a suggestion different. But there is opportunity there, and people need to seek it out and take advantage of it.
And it really doesn't cost them anything, because for my listeners, when they call you, you will pay for their appraisal.
Absolutely. It doesn't cost anything to have a conversation no matter what. But then if they decide to move forward and an appraisal is required on their loan, I will pay for it for them. That's right.
Okay. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, 303-880-8881. Jan in Fort Collins, give Lauren a call. And again, that number is 303-880-8881. Lauren, have a great weekend.
You as well, Kim. Thank you so much. Speak to you soon.
Okay, sounds great. And a couple of things that I had not mentioned yet, and that is this event that we're going to have on Monday night. Helen Raleigh, you know her. She immigrated from China, and she really is the American success story. And then Dr. Paul Prentice, who is a university professor, will be presenting the 3 Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. Steve, I don't know if you saw this headline, but the Federalist of and Helen writes for them. Great. I mean, wonderful authors. Actually, it looks like I think that Google or they were trying to demonetize them, I guess, not let them get the money for the ads that run on their website. Again, this is another weapon that the left is using to go after those that are trying to bring truth and light. Now, I think that since the light has been shown on that, the Federalist is big enough that it's not going to happen. But Helen is an author there. And here is an opportunity on Monday night for you to hear her in person. You can go to my website, kimmunson.com, to buy tickets. It's going to be a great opportunity, Steve.
Well, good for her and the Federalists, and it just makes me shake my head, you know, side to side, not up and down. Entities like Google, it's like, why can't you be neutral? Come out into the public arena with your technology. That's a wonderful thing. But then you start this bias thing, and it's not right.
It's not right, for sure. So, so that's going to be Monday night. We have just a few tickets left. It's going to be over at Water's Edge Winery on Monday night. And so go to my website. The details are there. And then also, thank you to all of you listeners that have contributed to Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas' minority bus tour. The bus is here in Colorado. They purchased it in New York. It's been the driver had to drive it all the way to Colorado, and it's in being wrapped right now, wrapped with the I'm a Trumpster publicity on the side of that. And they're going to take this into minority neighborhoods. I was listening to one of the national hosts yesterday, Steve, and they said, this is really what we have to do, is send people out and go into our communities and move the needle, talk truth to what is happening here regarding this election. Because you are seeing the results of the Democrat, I don't want to say leadership, but their ideology. You're seeing that play out right now. And as I mentioned, you go to Black Lives Matter, you contribute, and the money goes to the big Democrat fundraising arm, Act Blue. And so you can see that that ideology is one of destruction, destroying people's lives and picking winners and losers. So you have the elite that closed down our economy, but they didn't give up their salaries. They didn't give up their pensions while we had everyday mom and pop operations that were, you know, were closed down. Their livelihoods were closed down. And so be sure and let's help these guys out. So go to I'm a Trumpster, imatrumpster.com, and contribute. And then email me, Kim at KimMunson.com as well. We're going to have a celebration. I think it's going to be next Friday night, but that date is a little bit fluid. And then also, you get these really cool battle masks. Did I show you the battle mask, Steve?
No, ma'am.
Oh, I have to show it to you. And on one side, it says, America works together. It's reversible. On the other side, it says, I'm a Trumpster. And so for every $50, you can get one of those masks as well. So do that. Help us out. And this is how we are going to make sure that we keep our country, is by going in engaging in the battle of ideas in all of these different communities.
You know, you're gracious to indulge me. I have a, we can't do it here and now because Jason's standing by here. We need to go through my latest theory that I see developing in front of us, right in front of our eyes. It has to do with the post office. But what you just said about, you know, the way the Democrats are running their side of the ship. I have a very interesting theory, and I'm wondering if we're going to see it later in the year, but I don't want to take the time now.
Okay,
so
well,
keep that in mind.
Hey, Keith, that'll be a cliffhanger for next week. So, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, it was so great to have you in studio yesterday.
Yeah, it was sure nice to be back to there. You know, it just keeps adding back to the normalcy. Every little thing makes it feel more normal again, and I'm all for it.
I'm all for it as well. You know what? I didn't pay any attention to the market yesterday. What happened?
Well, you didn't have to because it didn't do much.
Oh.
You know, it was actually kind of a day where you could rest your brain a little bit. The Dow was, I think, it was down like 40 points. The NASDAQ, let's see, the NASDAQ was fairly quiet too. It was up like 14, so yeah, it was a day that said, okay, we're not going to be crazy. You can take a little bit of a rest today because it was getting ready for today when the Dow futures are up about 325 points here, Kim. And it would be nice if we could break past this resistance we've had on the Dow right at about the 200-day moving average. The Dow closed yesterday at 26,080, and I'll tell you, I would love to see it get above 26,611 short term. So we still got 600 points to go to break the little traffic jam we've had here, but that's one area I'll be watching pretty close.
Okay, and you know, I was talking with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group earlier in this segment, and we were talking about opportunity for people in the mortgage market. But, you know, Jason, it makes a lot of sense. You have said over the last few days, actually, you know, we had that, what was that? There was a down day of like 1,600. And all of a sudden, you know, it scared people again. And we didn't know what was going to happen, but the market has moved back up. And so it is always a good time to sit down and take a look. You know, risk tolerance, asset allocation. Should I have some money in cash? All those things, and it's different for each individual. And Jason, you and your colleagues over there at Presidential, I mean, you really pride yourselves on helping everyday individuals with their economic well-being.
Well, we do, Kim, and everybody's situation is so different. Some folks will come in, a good majority, you know, are investing, and they're going to need and want the money to continue to create a paycheck for them throughout retirement. And as we're living so much longer, that could be a long time. But other people have different intents for their money. Some folks, you know, maybe they have a really good pension or plan from work, and their investment money is kind of for other purposes. It could just be they're trying to grow it. They want to leave it to their kids. It's
everybody's
really
different.
Such a different story on everyone that comes in.
It is, and that's why it's so important to work with professionals like you, Jason, and the great folks over there at Presidential Wealth Management. So do you have big plans for the weekend?
I do. I think we're going to go out to Bandimere at some point for Father's Day.
Well, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And I'm trying to think. There's something tonight. Bruce has a golf tournament or a golf game tonight.
So, oh, nice.
If he'll allow us to go along and watch him. We'll enjoy that, but usually he just gets grumpy.
Does he? Okay. Yeah. Well, you'll just have to be really quiet, Jason, really quiet. So, well, have a great weekend, and be sure and reach out to Jason and sit down with them. Now's a great time with the market moving back up, just to, you know, make sure that you sleep well at night, because nothing goes straight up. There's always going to be volatility, and that phone number is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, happy Father's Day, and we'll talk to you on Monday morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Rick Turnquist, you know him. He is a guest. People always say, I just so love to hear what Rick has to say about things. And you can also find out more information about Rick because his, I had it right here. I thought it's to advancedfreedom.com is where you can find all of his blogs, to advancedfreedom.com. But he has written an excellent op-ed for us, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a look at the 2020 General Assembly session that will be on my website here probably within the next couple of hours. We're going to go to break. When we continue, we'll talk with Rick Turnquist.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have all kinds of great information in there. We'll have Rick Turnquist op-ed there, as well as we are recording some podcasts, sounding off with Kim Munson. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. We have just a few tickets left for our event on Monday night over at Water's Edge Winery with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice, The Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism. So you can sign up for that as well. I have Rick Turnquist on the line, and he's done an excellent piece, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, a look at the 2020 General Assembly session. And when Patty did the headlines for today, you can just take a look at it. This was from the Colorado Sun. It says, the Colorado lawmakers made billions in cuts to finish the budget. Now Governor Polis may need to make even more. And then from Complete Colorado, there was a Tabor-busting tax bill rushed through in the last days of the legislature. Let's see. The Colorado Springs Business Journal said Polis signs orders extending the tax deadline, activating the National Guard for election cybersecurity. And then the Denver Post headline says Colorado Democrats strike last-minute deal on tax breaks, vaping tax, and housing relief. So, Rick Turnquist, there's all kinds of headlines out there. How do you make anything of that? Well, you know what? You just go to my website and you take a look at this very important op-ed. Rick Turnquist, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Kim. I'm doing great. How are you?
I am good. And so let's just jump right in here. The good, the bad, and the ugly. A look at the 2020 General Assembly session. Was there anything good?
Well, there were a couple of things that I consider good. But before we do that, I wanted to take a minute to talk about my friend Aaron Boyd, who runs Angel Shield. It's a 501c3 nonprofit that promotes school safety, which is especially important in this time when progressives are talking about defunding police and the Denver Public Schools have voted to take school resource officers out of the schools
and Boulder Valley too. Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, I didn't hear about that. But, you know, it's really sad that people believe that just by simply thinking that words will make something so, that really works. And calling a school a gun-free zone actually increases the danger to the young lives that are there every day. So, you know, school safety is more important than ever, and Angel Shield is devoted to school safety through helping schools with mental health programs and physical security improvements and the like. And there's a lot of great sponsors already signed up for the golf tournament. It's going to be Friday, July 17th.
Okay.
And, it's going to be a great, great lot of fun. You know, there's, it's a chance to get out and be in the sun with some friends and play some golf and not have to worry about the silly virus that's going around. And so I think it's going to be a great thing. And I encourage everybody to go to golf.angelshield.org to sign up. There's still some room for a few sponsors, I think. And Aaron's team has done a great job of putting this thing together. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. So that's golf.angelshield.com and
.org.
Okay. Uh-huh. golf.angelshield.org and July 17th. Where's the tournament going to be at?
Oh, that's a great question. It's going to be at it's a golf course. I'll find out. Okay. I'll mention it in a second.
So. That sounds good. Yeah. And one thing, you know, I don't really golf, I've tried it just a few times, but I actually put social distancing in place long before we ever had that term, because I was also always out in the flora and the fauna trying to find the golf ball. So anyway,
right.
We'll get that. But that's July 17th, golf.angelshield.org.
And it's at Meadows Golf Club over in Littleton.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Well, let's jump in here regarding your op-ed, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. What was good about this 2020 legislative session?
To my mind, the best thing about it was the fact that it was only 84 days. So,
yes.
The Constitution gives the General Assembly 120 days. And, there were some people who thought that meant 20 consecutive days, but the Supreme Court ruled that was not the case. It's 120 calendar days is the language I saw when I looked it up in the Constitution. And so the original, they convened on January 8th, and the original date for the end of the session was May 6th. However, when the COVID-19 virus came around, in the panic of early March, the lawmakers suspended the session to allow for staying at home orders and social distancing. But after they reconvened, and they did reconvene on May 25th, and they came back because they had to pass a budget, which is required by the Constitution. And they made a last-ditch effort to get some of their more extreme agenda items passed, because they know that there's an election coming up this year and they could very easily lose power. I know they don't think they will, but with what I'm seeing happening in Democrat-run cities and states across the nation, people are fleeing these cities, they're fleeing these states, and hopefully they're waking up to realize that letting Democrats run government is not a recipe for good results. So I believe that we're going to see a real upheaval in this next election, and I really hope that we see one here in Colorado and vote out this Democratic majority that we have.
I think that we will, but it's going to take a lot of work. I don't know if you heard our quote from Clint Eastwood at the beginning of the show, but he says, uh-huh. You, me, we own this country. Politicians are employees of ours, and when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go. And there's a lot of folks down there at the Capitol House that we need to let them go. Rick Turnquist.
Yeah, that's true. And I wrote a blog about that several years ago called Time for a Change of Capital. It's on my website, toadvancedfreedom.com. But, so let's talk a little bit about the good. The good was the session was only 84 days instead of 120. And because it was cut short, they had to not introduce a few bills that they had been planning to introduce. Prominently among them was a bill for paid family and medical leave. Faith Winter has been trying to get that passed for several years, and I've written about it, both on your website and also on my blog. But they were able, they were going to try to put it together as a mandate on the private sector instead of a public sector program. But in the end of the day, they couldn't agree on what it should look like, so they just never introduced the bill. And you know, there's a lot of resistance to it from the business community and from activists like myself and many other people who opposed that that concept for Colorado. So they're gonna try to do a ballot initiative instead, and we'll see what happens with that. My suspicion is that just like with Amendment 69, that would have done socialized medicine in Colorado and several of the tax increase requests they've done over the years, I think that a family medical leave program is going to go down in flames when it's on the ballot, and it should, because it's a terrible idea. But and there's several other bad bills that were killed or they just died on the calendar. They may have made it through committee to begin with, but then they never had time to get back to it.
You know, Rick, I want to go back to this, you know, because you and I, when you say that it's a terrible idea, and I'm like, oh yes, that's a terrible idea. But the way they play it is, and people think about this, okay, paid family leave. That sounds good, because like when I heard a woman say, when my mother was in the last days of her life, gosh, it would have been nice if I could have taken paid family leave to go help take care of her. So when you and I say it's a terrible idea, but to the individual out there, they go, well, that sounds like a good idea. Why would you say to them that that is a bad idea?
Because when you talk about paid family leave, there's two sides of it. There's the benefit, which is, yeah, it'd be nice. You know, when my mother was dying and after she died and I had to manage the estate, you know, it would have been nice to have some supplemental income coming in. But the way that public or the paid family leave is funded is by taking money from every worker in the state by force to fund this program. And the way the program was designed, you know, it was just going to grow. It was just going to get out of control. You know, the initial tax bite, and they called it a premium. You can't see my air quotes, but that's what they called it, to get around Tabor.
Oh.
But, the premium, or the taxes rather, would have gone up over time, because, you know, when there's a program like this, of course people are going to use it. And as I studied it in other states, you know, the original utilization rates were always blown out. The programs grew out of control. You know, they've had to raise the taxes in other states. And so just, you know, it sounds good, but when you think about how it's funded, it's taking, and the money it would have taken, think about if you're making $40,000 or $50,000 a year and supporting a family, you know, that tax would amount to a real amount of money to you. You know, mm-hmm. It may not be much to somebody making $200,000 a year, but to somebody that's a lower income person, the tax to fund this paid family medical leave program would have been a significant thing.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that, Rick. So continue on now.
Okay. So there's several bad bills that were, and you know, we'll get to the bad in a minute, but these were the bad of the bad. 16-year-olds voting in school district elections, that was killed or died. Fees charged to tenants by landlords. Basically, they want landlords to fund eviction defense fees and put limits on what landlords can charge to tenants. You know, they just keep chipping away at property rights, and that was one of those. There's a couple of them, a law to penalize people if they don't have the ability to afford a big gun safe or the room for a big gun safe, secure storage of firearms or lost or stolen firearms. They wanted to
just a quick comment on that. How dumb is this? First of all, these legislators down there, they want to say that we quote unquote want to keep you safe. And so in order to do that, we want to dictate what happens in your house. And we want to dictate where you have your firearm and you have to have it locked up. But then, you know, we've seen the rioting down and, you know, the destruction down in downtown Denver. Well, gosh, when the bad guys knock on the door, do you say, wait a minute, I got to go get my gun out of my safe? I mean, what a dumb idea.
Oh, it's a completely dumb idea. And the government has no business telling people what to do with their property or how to secure their property.
Right.
And the same thing is true of the lost or stolen firearms. You know, if somebody broke in my house and, well, I lost all mine in a flood, but, you know, theoretically, if somebody broke in my house and stole my property, I would certainly report it to the police. So that law was just completely dumb to begin with. They wanted to do away with so-called sub-minimum wage employment. And let's be clear, there shouldn't be any minimum wages, but this would have made it illegal to hire somebody for less than minimum wage. And when you think about this, this could be a retired person who wants to just get out of the house for a few days a week and make a little extra money. It could be a kid starting off in a new job. My first job was sweeping a parking lot for a grocery store, and I didn't make minimum wage in that job. So, you know, it's just another example of how government thinks that they can you know, mandate what free people, you know, how free people agree to employ other free people. They wanted to continue to destroy our healthcare industry through an affordable healthcare option. They had another bill that was designed to prohibit the use of to-go containers in restaurants, which, of course, that one went down the tubes real quick when the COVID-19 thing came along, and also the same thing with plastic bags. So there's a lot of bad bills, and no gun control bills were passed, which was nice, and you know, there was a couple of bills that were introduced to repeal the magazine limitation and to try to improve the terrible red flag law. But of course, they were both defeated by Democrats.
Interesting. You know, and I just wanted to make a quick comment, and this isn't on your list, but there was a bill, I can't remember, I want to say it was 1425, but it was in response to COVID-19. And it's basically a bill that says, no one should die alone. And, you know, we found out with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption that there were people dying alone. In fact, I had a husband on that just told his tragic story. And so there was this bill. It passed. It had bipartisan support. It passed the Senate unanimously. Interestingly, there were 17 Democrats that voted against that. So we're going to do some more research on that. I just thought I would make that note. Hey, Rick Turnquest, we're going to go to break. It always goes so quickly when you're here. We talked about the good of this legislative session, and it was basically that it was short, and a bunch of the stuff they wanted to get through didn't get passed, but some stuff did. So let's talk about the bad and the ugly when we come back with Rick Turnquest.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Rick Turnquest. You know him. He is an author. He's a blogger. You can find his very well-researched, thoughtful, reasoned pieces at toadvancefreedom.com. And then he had also mentioned his good friend with Angel Shield is having a golf tournament on July 17th, and you can sign up for that at golf.angelshield.org. So, Rick Turnquest, let's continue on here. What was the bad in the 2020 legislative session here in Colorado?
Well, in this post, I picked out three what I considered to be good bills, and we can read about those, excuse me, on your website. But let's talk about three of the really bad bills that I thought passed this session. And one of them was 20-200, implementation of a Colorado Secure Savings Program. And basically this, you know, gets the state involved in private sector worker retirement plans. And, you know, we tried this experiment as a whole country back in 1930s with something called Social Security, which I would say has not been a success. It's, you know, there's a supposedly Social Security trust fund, and depending on how you do the math or which source of data you look at, you know, it may or may not be solvent. But, you know, it takes ever increasing bites of the money from people who work to fund the retirements of people who aren't working. Whereas, you know, if I had if I had all the money that I've put into Social Security over my lifetime in my retirement account, I would be retired. So I don't think the government belongs anywhere near, how people save for retirement. A second one was House Bill 20-1143, which is basically another bill that's hostile to the oil and gas industry in Colorado. And I just want to point out that the Colorado Democrats and their childish hatred of an important industry in our state is a contributing factor to why Colorado is on the way to becoming a second-rate state with a second-rate economy. And another bill that they passed was House Bill 1153, which allows for state employees to unionize. And, as we talk about police reform, one of the obstacles, many people talk about is police unions, block police departments from disciplining or firing, the so-called bad apples. But, And states, research has proven, that states that have public sector unions across the board do less well economically than states that don't. Yet, every session, Colorado Democrats take us further along the road to having a second-rate state. And, this was another one of them. And it's a real tragedy for Colorado that we now have that we will soon have a completely unionized state workforce.
Yeah, most definitely.
Then we have the ugly, and three bills there. One of them was Senate Bill 20-163. I know many of your listeners are familiar with that one. It's the School Entry Immunization Act. That was probably the most controversial bill of the session, and they held hearings about it on a Sunday, which I think was pretty much unprecedented. And I know that hundreds of people showed up in protest against it. And I want to make clear that I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm against government force. And, there's no way the government should be able to mandate what people put in their bodies or what they do to their children. So I think that was an ill-conceived bill. And, I'm sorry that it passed. There's another one to replace Columbus Day with a new state holiday. And we don't have time to dig through this, but, a year ago this month, we talked about George Orwell. And we're seeing that now, George Orwell talked about the erasure of history in his book 1984. And that's what we're seeing now with all this desire to tear down statues and rewriting American history with the 1619 Project and the like. So that was a bad bill. And then there was probably one that I felt was really egregious. And this was one where it was called the Born Alive Child Physician Relationship. And it was concerning the rights of a living child, a child who lived after an abortion. And they actually voted against protecting the life of a born alive child, which proves that they'll do anything to protect the so-called right to an abortion. So, I think that this, those three were the most standout, ugliest of the thing. And now we have a few minutes left, Kim, and I just want to talk about, at the end of my post, I talk about how Democrats have controlled the elected branches of government, with the exception of 2 years in the House and 4 years in the Senate since 2007. So, after 2018, they've controlled all the state offices. During that time, we've seen wave after wave of progressive legislation passed, even sometimes with Republican help, because Republicans don't always stay true to the conservative principles that we believe in. We've seen hostility to the oil and gas industry. We've seen historic infringements on our Second Amendment rights. And we've seen our traditional American values being gutted or chipped away in our Colorado way of life gutted. And we're seeing California, Oregon, and New York policies being implemented here. So I think that we need to realize that this coming election, we'll talk about this more next month, I hope, this coming election is going to be difficult. And we're facing formidable opponents in the progressive infrastructure, which you can read about on mm-hmm. my blog at To Advance Freedom. And they have an overwhelming advantage in money. And just one commissioner race, the Democrat has, 50% of her or 45% of her money coming from out-of-state sources. So it's a real thing. And this means we have to really work hard, support conservative candidates, stop fighting among ourselves, and stand for Colorado and stand for America.
Well, and I had Susan Harris on earlier this week, and we talked about conservatism. And, there's been an assault on that word. Again, that's very Orwellian. But conservative, preserve, conserve, what that means is conserve this vision of the Declaration, that all men are created equal with these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is what real conservatism is, Rick Turnquist. request. Thank you so much. People can find you at toadvancefreedom.com. Toadvancefreedom.com. You've got about 30 seconds, got 15 seconds. So what's your final thought, the takeaway for our folks today?
Well, I think the takeaway is to, you know, make sure you vote in this primary. And then once you vote, let's all bury the hatchet with our same party opponents and work together to defeat the left in November.
And so, yes, roll up our sleeves. We got a country to save here, Rick Turnquist. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you. And I did want to make one note. Steve and I had talked about this. There was a headline that Patty had, and we talked about it a couple of days ago, and it was from the Center Square. And the headline said, Colorado ranks 36th highest in study identifying the safest states in the U.S. But take out the word highest, and it says Colorado ranks 36th in study identifying the safest states in the United States. We are losing ground here in Colorado, my friends, and we've got to roll up our sleeves and fight. So today, Clint Eastwood says, nobody knows diddly. They just think they do. And the people that think they know the most know the least. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.